You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So the book of Hebrews, chapters 11, verse 1, is often interpreted to mean that faith is a tangible or substantial belief or trust in things that are hoped for, but not yet seen. It is the confidence in something that is based on one's belief rather than physical evidence. In Christian theology, faith is considered a fundamental element of one's relationship with God, and it is seen as the means by which individuals can access God's grace and promises. We are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Nali Shebo here, so we can understand how faith is a substance, like Jani, how? Pastor will have to help us to make sense, because it does not make sense. Anyway, yes, my pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I am all right. Thank you. How are you?
I am good, my pastor. I'm super excited for this one. Talks about faith, they make me to be super energetic. Before we start, can you please pray for us?
Sure, let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, we ask, dear Lord, that as we discuss about faith today and the rest of this week, may be with us. Open to us your word so that we may understand. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. My pastor, what does the phrase faith is a substance mean?
Faith is a substance. Mm-hmm. We are looking at faith from Hebrews chapter 11, because that is actually where we find this particular phrase, faith is a substance. Mm. One thing that we learn about this particular word, substance, that other Bible versions will translate as assurance, it actually carries several meanings. When you look at it from the classical Greek perspective, it actually means substance or reality of an object.
Okay.
So it speaks of an object or something that exists in reality. When you look at it from the Hellenistic perspective, the same word translated as substance, it actually has a broader meaning. It now includes concepts of confidence, assurance, or firm foundation. When you get to the Old Testament, you come across words such as steadfastness, foundation. All these words are actually coming from the same word that Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 calls substance. Mm. In other words, what this word really means and speaks to is that faith is not a vague idea.
Okay.
But that faith is actually something that is enshrined in reality. Faith is real. It exists. It is something that, for lack of better terms, I would say something that is actually tangible, you know. And this is particularly important because many of us have suggested that faith is a feeling or things that are within those lines. Faith is not actually a feeling. Mm. Faith is an assurance. It's a reality. It is something that exists. It's not a fleeting thing like a feeling that exists today and is gone tomorrow. Faith is a reality. And I like the way the verse actually puts it. It says, faith is the substance, which actually means that faith is assurance. Mm. Yeah.
So, as I'm loving how we are in a way breaking down the scripture, my pastor, the book of Hebrews, the chapters 11, and then it says there that faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the evidence of things not seen. But we are saying that faith is something of substance. Okay, let's not go there now. But how then do we now interpret these two things? Like, it's a substance of things hoped for. For me, substance is things that you can hold it. You understand? You can feel it. You can touch it. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping for that. So is it? I'm gonna make a very weird example. Put this one. So am I to say, faith is a substance of things hoped for, right? So meaning, if faith was a bread, it's me now hoping to touch and feel the bread, because substance is something that I can hold. I know the texture of bread. Exactly. I know how it. I even know the weight. Is that how now we're supposed, like, how do we interpret this verse? Because wow. Mm-mm.
So when you look at it from Hebrews chapter 11, mm-hmm. in one part it says faith is the mm-hmm. substance of things hoped for.
Uh-huh.
In the other part it says it is the evidence of things not seen.
Seen, yes.
So substance is supposed to tell us that faith is an assurance. It is something that is enshrouded in reality and not really a vague idea.
Mm.
But on the other hand, faith as evidence means that faith is actually proof.
Mm.
As I was trying to go through the verse, I was trying to think to myself to say, okay, how do I put across a point that that really shows proof? And I'm thinking of the sun rising.
Okay.
Okay. The sun rising every day.
Mm.
And the question is, supposing somebody asks me to say, how do you know the sun will rise tomorrow?
Ah, I see.
And then I'll say, I know the sun will rise tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I have evidence. I have proof.
Mm.
How it rose today. It rose yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same manner, faith is actually evidence. It says of the things not seen.
Mm.
How do you know that oxygen exists? Or rather, how do you know air exists?
Yeah.
Because you can feel it. You can feel it. You can breathe it.
Mm.
So in that manner, the Bible is actually telling us that faith is just like that too. It is not just an assurance, but it is also proof of what you cannot see. If you are questioning the existence of God, faith is the evidence that God exists.
Mm.
If you are trying to understand what doesn't exist, Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us to say faith is actually that very evidence. It is the proof of the things that exist. Not said. I don't know how I can put it across that it can become a little bit more clear.
No, I think the sun example actually makes it, because someone would be like, how would you know that the night will not be too dark? And I'm like, I know, because I've got evidence that the moon and the stars are going to come out. And we know that during this season, they are too bright. And during this season, they are there, but they're a bit dim, you know, so it becomes a bit dark. Ah, whatever I'm putting this, you are very smart. Very smart, Mpundi, very smart. So, in what ways does faith act as a tangible or a substantial aspect of our spiritual lives? Because we're spiritual beings, right? Like now, me, my faith is that, yo, Mpundi, me, I want to have millions in my account. I have that faith. God, do I care? You but you know. So how do we know that?
As I move on to that question, I'm reminded of some of the things that we say at times when we're talking about faith.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that it's a feeling.
Mm.
The other one is positive thinking.
Yes.
You know, I wake up and I'm saying, I'm surrounded by so many hardships, and somebody asks me to say, how do you know that what you are doing will have outcome at the end of it? And then I say, well, I know because I have this hunch within me, or I know because I'm hoping for the best. Some have even substituted faith for optimism.
Yes.
And I think that's what Hebrews 11 is trying to address and do away with by actually suggesting to us that faith is not positive thinking. It's not a feeling. It's not a hunch. It's not hoping for the best. It is you acting on God's promises based on the evidence you have received from His word, from His revelation of Himself. Actually, a better way to put it is to say that faith has an object, and the object is God.
Okay.
Yeah. You asked the question to say, in what way does faith act as a tangible or substantial aspect of our spiritual lives? Actually, faith does so in many ways. It does so in the choices we make, in the actions and the decisions that we make. When you look at the whole of chapter 11 of Hebrews, you will realize that when it begins to list these great men of faith, the Abel, the Abraham, Noah, and the rest of them, you will realize that their faith is accompanied by action.
Okay.
Because faith acting as an assurance and evidence also leads to you acting upon it and taking a step. So that is actually what we see from these men. When God appears to Abraham and tells him to say, go to a place, to a faraway country where no one has ever, where you have never been, your family has never been, actually leave the household of your father and go. He acts upon it based on the faith that he has in God. When David steps into the valley and has to face Goliath, when everybody else is looking at how big the giant is, Goliath is looking at how big his, rather David is looking at how big his God is. So he cannot be afraid of the immediate circumstance because for him, he's looking at God. So faith is always accompanied by action.
So are we then to understand that if your faith does not have action, then it's not faith, it's a feeling?
Yes. It means it's a feeling because every faith should produce action. Action in a certain sense becomes the evidence of your faith.
Ah, okay, Pastor. There's a voice note, my Pastor, that has come through. Let's take it, because I think this listener is quite interesting. So there's a voice note. Let me take it from one of our listeners.
Hi, Zanolin, Pastor. I hear you, but your guys are speaking more from experience. That's not really faith. You're speaking experience. I know that the sun will rise because it rose yesterday. How do you have the faith in the Lord that you've never seen do anything? You know, so there needs to be a clarification. How do you have evidence of things that you've never seen happen?
Did you get that, Pastor?
No, I didn't get it.
Okay, so the listener is saying that we are speaking from experience when we use the example of the sun, because we have seen the sun, you know, once in a while, you know, come up. So we know that it's going to come up. But then now, how do we have faith in a God that we have never seen? How do we have faith in something that we do not know or we have not seen? How then do we distinguish between those two things, that due to experience, I know this will happen, or I know this will happen. For example, when we pray, due to experience, we know that God is either going to answer us or he's going to keep quiet. But if you do not have that experience, how then do you have faith in something that you have never done or have never seen before?
That's an interesting question. What I'm seeing from Hebrews chapter 11 is that faith has an object. And the object is God. So in other words, faith, first of all, entails that we need to have a relationship with God. When we do that, it means that our faith will be acting upon who God is. Not so much of what God has done. Okay. But faith is appealing to the character and nature of God. and not so much of what he has done. Yes, what he has done is important, but faith is looking at God's character. Who is God according to what the Bible has revealed to us?
Okay. So, I'm wrapping it around my head. So, are we to say that because we know of God's character, or we are learning of God's character, right? So that makes us to have the faith of things unseen, of the unseen. Because, for example, we know that God is a healer. Even though I have not experienced his healing, but because I have read in the Bible where it says that he is a healer, is that where now my faith now comes from?
Yes.
So what happens now in a situation where I have not read about God, or I have not experienced God doing all of those things?
That's an interesting situation, because I'm thinking that the first thing that we need to have is a relationship with God. So for faith to exist, there must be a relationship with God. And a relation, so faith will act upon the knowledge you have of God in that relationship you have.
Okay.
I wish I could come up with a biblical example of some of these things.
Give us, Pastor, give us. We're ready for
the biblical. One of the things we realize about I don't know if this will be the best example. Look at the battle of Joshua, the Israelites led by Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua prays for the sun to stand still.
Okay.
From a scientific point of view, we know that the sun is already stationary. It's a world that actually rotates.
Mm.
But based on their knowledge of who God is, in that particular instance, God answers that prayer.
Mm.
And to them, they actually think as though the sun has actually stood still, when it is actually the earth that has stood still.
Mm.
The point I'm trying to put across is, in our relationship with God, at that level, based on our knowledge of who he is, God answers and deals with us at that level. So even our faith is at that particular level.
Mm.
I don't know if that attempts to answer the question.
I think so, Mpundi. So there is a scripture that came through from one of our listeners. They've shared a scripture from the book of Romans, chapters 10, verses 14 to 15. It's in the KJV. It says there, "How then shall they call on him they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." That is Romans 10 there. That's what the listener has sent to us. And another one is saying that, let's talk about this faith not this way that we have not seen believing on that. You have not read. You've not read the Bible, my pastor. And let's say you have no faith at all. You know, how then now do you have faith on faith that you don't have? Hi, man, this is getting complicated. Me asking it, how do you have faith? Or how do you know a faith? Or how does your faith help you believe whilst you yourself do not have faith? You don't understand? What faith is
I don't know if I'm following that that question correctly. What are they really saying exactly?
Let me open the scripture. Maybe the scripture will guide us. I'm browsing my Bible here. As they've given us Romans 10 verse 17. Elder, there you can expatiate on your verse. So it's Romans 10 verses 17. Here it is. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So I'm thinking that they are saying that if you have not read the Bible, because remember we said that we know God by because we know of his character. Our faith is built because we know of his character, right? So meaning that if you have not read, or you don't have a Bible, the people don't have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at home, please text us, we'll give you a Bible, you know. So how then would one have faith if they have not read? So with this scripture that the elder is giving us, meaning that you can hear by how the preachers are going to preach, and then now you can have faith.
Okay. Then I think that the elder is agreeing with me by when we say that faith needs you to have a relationship with God for it to exist first.
Yes.
So the relationship with God in that case entails you having a little knowledge of Him and believing Him.
So as we're nearing the end of Pastor, it's going to be a very lovely week. No, it's me and you throughout the whole week. Speak about things that we don't see. We don't see these things, but we believe. Yazin, it's a difficult one, Pastor. You're going to make it make sense to a lot of us, you know. Yeah. So now, can faith as a substance be understood in a broader context beyond religious or spiritual matters, such as in the context of personal goals, aspirations, and self-beliefs? I know earlier you spoke about feelings and, you know, positive thinking there. So if I now, I'm one who, I don't set goals because I feel like a failure when I don't achieve them, you know. So, but then if I now sit down, I'm like, born 2024, I'm doing this. Is that now a testament of me having faith in myself or my abilities and everything else? Does that also apply to that, or faith is only strictly to spiritual things?
That's an interesting one. From the biblical perspective, faith deals more with salvation matters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so to speak, faith deals more with salvation matters. However, there are certain things we can learn from faith that we may be able to apply in our day-to-day activities as we try to achieve our goals and our aspirations. We read earlier that faith is the assurance, the confidence, the evidence of things not seen. In like manner, we might pick those attributes of faith to be things that we too can have in our lives, and that can help us achieve our goals. For example, if we have trust, if we have confidence in what we would like to achieve. Okay? I don't know if that can also qualify as faith. But from the biblical perspective, what I'm seeing is that faith has an object, and the object is God.
Ah. But we can't touch God. Okay, so, no, let me not go there.
Yeah. So if we are looking at it from our day-to-day activities, I don't know what the object will be. It will be God, or it will be the visions and the gods.
Like, Pastor. Because I was about to say, as we wrap up, Pastor, make it make sense. Maybe the writers of the Bible, you know, maybe they could... Please, God forgive me. I'm not blaspheming or anything. I'm just asking a question. Maybe they couldn't find another word to use them, because the moment you say substance, we want it to be tangible. I want to feel, man, the texture. And now we're saying faith is a substance. Like, we can't, we don't even know God. No one has ever seen God. No, we have not seen. Okay, in our generation, let's people come and say, hey, this one in the Bible, so God, us. We like, okay, Pastor, you may wrap up and pray for us. So that we may have faith in understanding this topic of faith.
maybe from what we are getting from Hebrews 11, this is how we can define faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Maybe I put it differently. Faith is the assurance, the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen.
Okay.
In other words, it involves putting full trust in God's promises, even when physical evidence might be lacking.
Okay.
Okay.
I
don't know if that is making sense. So for me, what I'm seeing faith to be is that, first of all, it's not a feeling. It's a conviction. It's it's belief. It's trust. It's assurance. Okay. It is evidence, so to speak. It is proof that what you are asking from God, or what you need from God, or what God has assured you, you will receive, you will have it, even before you receive it. So you move in life with full and total conviction that it will happen.
Pastor, pray for us so that we may move with that conviction that it will happen. You know, that I'll wake up one day and have $2 million in my account.
Thank you so much. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, dear Lord, we ask that you may help us to be students of your word, and continue to learn and understand how faith works and how it relates to us and to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. That is Pastor Nalishabo there. Wow. It's going to be a very interesting week. Thank you so much, Fundis, for coming through. And as we started this conversation about faith, till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.